We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
A black cat has taken the field. The cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown.
So is it bad luck for the Giants? Is it bad luck for the Cowboys?
I don't know.
I'm not superstitious or anything.
I am a little stitious.
I hate cats too, so it's like
Dale Arnold.
Shot scores. Torrey Crone off the post and in. Brad Marchand. A wilder game you will never see.
Rich Keefe.
Did they pack up Newhouse's bags and give him a one-way ticket back to Stuckville?
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Cat House?
Oh, yeah, Cat House.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Started the day talking about that wild game last night at the Garden. Another win. The Bruins did have two defensemen hurt last night. Charlie McAvoy hit the side of his head on the goalpost as he went crashing into the net. Torrey Krug took a skate up in the face area that just scared the hell out of me.
Those are always nasty.
Bruce Cassidy said today both are good to go.
All right.
Both will be in the lineup tonight.
Good.
Ready to go. And Zdeno Chara will play his 1,500th. Career game tonight.
And they love him in Montreal.
Oh, he's
so
a
it'll
very
be really,
popular.
It'll be a nice night for him, I'm sure.
Every time he touches the puck, they'll be giving him a hearty round of applause.
Calling the cops on him. It's not great for him there. But
so we were talking about Lamar Jackson and the Patriots wanted him, he was there. They could have had him.
Twice.
They chose not to.
Yes.
And this was after they brought him in. Now, you could make an argument, by the way, that some of those interviews that they do almost become like opposition research.
Yeah, especially because they get
him
so
in.
Many
let's
of
talk
them,
to
right?
him. Let's work yeah. him out. Let's see what he does. Let's see what he, you know.
Especially for a unique player like that. Now, they don't know who's going to draft him.
Right.
50-50 chances in your conference. And so he ends up being on not only in your conference, but one of the teams that you could easily face in the playoffs. So that didn't seem to help them necessarily in the game on Sunday, though. Whatever they learned about Lamar Jackson, they still weren't able to stop him. But the other question is, We've now seen in 9 games the Patriots have faced all 5 of the first round picks from a year ago. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and Lamar Jackson.
Only one did anything against you.
Anything, right?
Anything.
So
did nothing.
Based off of those games or the games that we saw, Lamar Jackson's clearly the guy that you want. And I think Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold are more your, I guess, not only typical quarterbacks, but typical even in 2019, because Baker Mayfield's not going to run for a million yards, but he can obviously run away from pressure, right? Like Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, they're going to step up. Like Phillip Rivers is going to step up in the pocket. Baker Mayfield can scoot a little bit, but nobody can scoot to the ability that Lamar Jackson can. But man, even if you had the first pick in that draft and you had to take a quarterback for your future, who do you go with? Like, are they all going to be busts? Like, they can't all be bad, right?
You wouldn't think.
Lamar Jackson looks good now, but he's also the one that nobody thinks can do it long term. Josh Rosen's been benched by Ryan Fitzpatrick. Josh Allen might be the least accurate quarterback in the league. Baker Mayfield looks like a mess. I mean, on and off the field right now, a mess. And then Sam Darnold.
I don't know. That's a pretty sharp look with that coat.
What is he trying to accomplish with that?
By the way, speaking of that
coat, is the mustache a Movember thing? Is
See,
that why he's
I'd
doing
feel
it?
Better if that was true, but
Shime, do you know that's why
wasn't
he's
he working
it?
On it before that?
I don't know if that's why he's doing it, but that's the
I assume
general
it's
sign
why.
Of Movember.
Yeah, I assume it's why. It doesn't mean he needs to look quite as disheveled.
You don't like, think he's trying to go with the Ron Jeremy look?
Maybe
the mustache and the raincoat.
Some people have kind of ironic mustaches. Maybe that's what he's going with. Yeah, he looked like just because you're growing a mustache for Movember, which is a great cause, doesn't mean you need to wear like a trench coat. Like you look like you're like a flasher of some sort. That's a weird look. He looks horrible. But then, and then Sam Darnold had maybe the worst game I've ever seen a quarterback have. So those are your options. Those would be the future. Because my point is, when the Patriots do have to replace Tom Brady, I have a pretty good hunch, Dale, they're not going to have the number one pick in the draft.
7 years from now?
In 8-9 years from now. And if they want to do it in the draft, they're not going to have the number one pick. But my point is, even if they did have the number one pick,
they might have to replace him this year.
They might.
After this year.
They might. And so going into next year, you don't even have the choice probably of all the top guys.
Next year, it's Jarrett Stidham.
And even if you did have the choice of all the top guys, what are the chances that any of them are going to be any good? We saw the whole 2018 draft class, and it's very early for those guys. They could all be great, they could all be bad, or whatever it is right now. But just based on what we've seen, this is year two for all of them. And holy smokes, they don't, besides Lamar Jackson, again, sort of a caveat with Lamar Jackson, those other four guys, I wouldn't feel very confident in winning anything with them right now.
No.
They seem, and Baker Mayfield's case, and I do think it's a lot of it is coaching, but in his case, it's gotten worse.
I this is not taking, well, it is kind of taking a shot. On the Dale and Keefe Twitter feed,
what's going on right now?
We just retweeted Gil Brandt.
How's Gil doing?
So
is he all right?
So Gil tweeted out,
yeah.
I told my Twitter helper.
Stop right there.
I need a Twitter helper.
A Twitter helper?
Can we get Lucy
on
the line?
You guys have two Twitter helpers behind the glass. We run an account that has your name on it.
Shaman, John. Yeah, a lot of
you
times.
You have nothing to do with my personal account.
I was going to say, a lot of times I wish my name wasn't on that account when you guys are tweeting from that.
Oh, please, you're just jealous.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Last year I was banned from tweeting from that account for Twitter the rest helper. Of football season. So
back to Gilbert.
Yeah, you were horrible.
He said I...
He was so bad during the game.
He was awful. I told my Twitter helper...
I love that line.
I wanted to say something about how I think Mike Leach would be a great candidate for the FSU opening.
Stop right there again. That right there is something.
Yeah,
he said, I want to say something about how Mike Leach should coach FSU. Just said it. You just said it, Gil.
Let it go.
Hit send. Let her fly, Gil.
But no.
Let her fly.
No. He then, according to him, told his Twitter helper... Told him to be creative.
Oh, okay. So he wanted a spin on it. So not just Mike Leach would be great for the Florida State, but give it a little sizzle to
it. Hey, Twitter world.
Yeah. Okay,
this is what he came up with. Said it was a meme. Misspelled.
Well, what are you going to do? You know what he means. We know what he means.
Said it was a meme.
Yeah.
And the kids would understand.
Because you know who follows Gil Brandt on Twitter?
The kids.
Kids.
The kids are all over Gil Brandt on Twitter.
All the teens. Very popular in that 12 to 18 demo. They're always like, what'd Gil Brandt tweet today? And they're always retweeting Gil Brandt, posting messages about Gil Brandt.
Honestly, if we went to the local high school and pooled like the entire
zero.
Class.
Zero.
Think zero?
Zero would know Gil Brandt. Yeah.
Not a single
zero.
Person. So
zero.
So the
you're a little old to know, you're a little old to know who
Yeah, but
is.
I'm a big fan of the classics.
There's probably one prodigy that like read his scouting book or something and knows it.
No,
he's like the manager of the football team.
Maybe.
So the meme is two pictures of Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
One looking strong and manly.
Yeah, Baker one from
he's
probably...
Got a, he's got a two-day growth of beard.
Probably before
going.
The draft, he's got
eyes
like a...
squinty, staring off into the
hair
sunset.
Game looks good. He's got the scruff going. He's got like a collared shirt on. He's squinting, like you said.
And it says underneath it, Mike Leach.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other one is the Ron Jeremy porn star raincoat look of Baker Mayfield.
It looks like the mugshot of a guy who exposed himself at an elementary school.
That's or a guy like. That was a member of the Sticky Bandits.
It doesn't look a little Sticky Bandit-ish. It does look very sticky. Like he was in the Sticky Bandits, or maybe he was in the Wet Bandits. He was in the original Wet Bandits.
So then underneath that picture,
looks
it says,
ridiculous.
Any other candidate for the FSU job? All right, now he doesn't know how to spell meme. It's fairly apparent to me he doesn't even understand what a meme is.
No.
So the very first comment underneath this says, we must protect Gil Brandt at all costs.
I mean, he's out there, though, you know? He's out there. He's on Twitter. He even hired a helper.
Apparently.
Is that what that kid's LinkedIn says? Gil Brandt's Twitter helper. Does that pay anything?
I make memes.
Twitter elf?
M-E-A-M.
Or is that just like his grandson? Let's be honest. He's just dressing it up.
Well, his
really
grandson is Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football.
Is he really?
Yes.
Wait, Kyle Brandt?
Yes.
The guy who was on Real World Chicago?
Yes.
Is Gil Brandt's grandson?
Correct.
All right, so his great-grandson helps him out on Twitter then. told him to be creative. I said, hey, have some fun with this one. I want Mike Leach coaching the Seminoles. Have some fun with it, though, a little bit. Have some fun. He's like, all right, I'll do a side-by-side of Baker Mayfield because nobody's doing that right now.
Oh, no.
And I'll do
nowhere.
Mike Leach, any other candidate for the FSU job? So if you want to see it, Dale Keefe, WEEI.
Look, check out that meme.
Everything about that tweet is good. Everything about the Gilbrandt tweet is good. The meme, kids would understand. Kids.
Kids today.
I mean, he's got a lot of followers. I would guess, what do you think the median age is for the Gilbrandt follower?
72.
Yeah. Pretty high, right?
53.
50s. Yeah, 50s. Oh, man.
I good could possibly be the youngest person on that list.
Yeah, you are, but without a doubt. You don't even have to look. Without a doubt, you're the youngest guy on that list.
Well, I'm on that list. I'm younger than Shimes.
All right. John Anderson's the youngest guy. But you guys are, you're in the business. You know, you're in the business. I don't think it would count if you weren't in the business necessarily. Leave media people alone. You guys are co-hosts of the Winner's Circle.
So the youngest is probably then 33 years old?
Yeah. Yeah, probably right. And even that was a miss. Like, even that, they're like, they meant to file Kyle Brandt, and they ended up following Gilbrandt.
So can we talk for a brief moment here about N'Keal Harry?
Of course.
Who
I would love to, because DL, I would like to say this.
Oh,
let me cut you off.
Hold on.
You said something
last week.
You said something last week that I think you owe me an apology.
Oh,
because
again?
Yes, last week you said, and I'm paraphrasing here. No, it might be a direct quote. I think the Patriots like N'Keal Harry more than you do.
Oh, yeah.
You said that, and yeah. You kind
well,
of...
Well, he's on the team, and if you ever in charge, no, he wouldn't maybe be.
But
so
they,
I don't have to apologize
they
for
they
that.
Like him so much. They've waited so long to get him inactive game one. They don't like him that much. They I can't imagine like him that much. Maybe they like the idea of him. Maybe they like the idea that he is going to be really good someday. But right now, they don't like him very much.
So they made him part of the 53-man roster,
yep,
which they could do. And as Bill Belichick pointed out to OMF a week ago, they could have waited until today,
right,
to put him on the right active roster. Now, if they didn't put him on the active roster today, he was done for the year. So they
yeah,
could
right
have, but they could have waited till today.
It was sort of a swerve, right? Because they activated him over the weekend. Because Friday, I was saying, oh, I don't even think he's going to play. And then was it Saturday or maybe late Friday they activated him? I'm like, all right, well, if you're going to activate him, I would think that he's maybe going to play. And then we get the inactives at, you know, just before 7 o'clock on Sunday night, and nope.
Oh, I admit, they swerved yeah me because yeah once he was on the 53-man, right, I
like,
thought, well,
okay,
why would you put him on the 53-man if you're right not going to play him?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't.
Uh-uh.
And we've noted with interest over the last 24 hours comments from both his quarterback
right
and his head coach about N'Keal Harry. Let's start with Tom Brady.
Okay.
On with Greg Hill yesterday talking about Harry.
Tom, were you at all surprised that N'Keal Harry wasn't activated for the game last night?
In what sense?
Just the fact that he was brought onto the 53-man roster and that, you know, could have got, you know, I guess, you know, had a couple drives stalled down there in the red area, and I know you guys would love to be able to get 7 instead of 3, and that's a big body first rounder that I know you've been looking forward to getting back out there.
Yeah. Again, coach makes all those decisions, so
right.
I go out there and just try to play. So,
loves them.
All right, that sounded less than enthusiastic.
Oh, my God. Loved them. In what sense? Nick's like, wait a minute, what? I thought that was pretty clear.
Yeah,
were you surprised?
Poor Nick thought he was being yelled at.
Thought he was done. So then Nick has to go and has to like preamble there for a little bit. You know, he's a big receiver. You just lost a big receiver. Like, maybe you want to work him in. He is a first-round pick, after all. Patriots usually do pretty damn well in the first round. Usually want those guys on the field. And this is the first time we had to wait half a season for him. He's activated. Brady's obviously been at practice with him. And if Brady has had success at practice with him, it didn't show in that answer. Didn't show at all. He's like, what do you mean? What do you mean was I surprised? He's like, I don't know. He's eligible. He's eligible. Did you think he's brother? Yeah, not my choice.
So yesterday on OMF, Bill Belichick is on as he is every
yes
afternoon.
Yes.
And this will clear up everything about N'Keal Harry's status.
So you guys, obviously, N'Keal Harry's not activating the game. The fact you guys did run a lot of no huddle, fast tempo, did that play a role in it as well? Like, he is sort of new and expecting him to be on the field and be able to handle the signals, and was maybe a little bit too much to ask. Was that one of the factors why he wasn't activated?
Yeah. I mean, look, Lou, we have to make 7 players inactive every week. So the ones that are inactive, we feel like there are the players that have a bigger role in the game.
Was it because of that no huddle, though? I mean, Gunner was out, so you were short a wide receiver. It just seemed like depth-wise, used a lot of 3 wide receiver sets all game. It just figured, wise depth-wise, it figured he would maybe be active, but because there are no huddles, no chance.
Yeah.
Is he close to getting there? as far as what you need to see for him to, you know, crack the and be activated for
We'll see. We'll see what happens this week. I don't know. We have a new team, new situation. We'll see how we come out on the game plan, see how the week goes and all that. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Do you want to adjust your over-under 20 catches?
I'll take it back. They don't like him more than
No, I think I love him compared to... I love N'Keal Harry compared to Belichick and Brady.
You're Holy right. Smokes. I do owe you an apology, apparently.
This guy is not... And we thought, you know, not that... The numbers of Josh Gordon were not that crazy the first half of the season. And so we had sort of speculated, can N'Keal Harry give you Josh Gordon numbers? I didn't think he could... But you never know. You could be surprised. You know, you thought there was a real chance he could give you what, 3 or 4 catches a game somewhere in there. Yeah. But based off of that, oh my God. Like no chance. First of all, they really only played 3 wide receivers last week. Jacoby Myers played 1 play, and that's because Philip Dorsett got hurt. And I know the Patriots are a game plan specific team. So some weeks it might be 4 receiver sets a lot. Some weeks it might be 2. Like it's gonna change. But it doesn't seem like N'Keal Harry is anywhere close to contributing to the team.
If he's inactive 2 weeks from now, they've got the bye week this week, play the Eagles the week after.
Good point.
If he's inactive for the Eagles game,
forget it.
You're in trouble.
Forget it.
I don't mean you. I mean,
No.
If you're a Patriots fan and thinking you're going to get something out of your first round pick.
Yikes. Yeah, then at that point, you really only brought him back, I guess, in case Dorsett or Sanu gets hurt, or just any receiver, right? You have to elevate the next guy. And they probably said, well, based on what's available out there, N'Keal Harry, we're better off bringing him back. Plus, they probably know that James Devlin wasn't really going to be able to come back, too. And if you can only activate 2 guys off of IR.
The 2 who were even probable or possible.
Right, so it sounds like at least he's healthy enough.
Right.
He's healthy enough, but does he get it on the field? Because we've seen some of these receivers kind of ebb and flow, too, right? We've seen Philip Dorsett have some really good games, and then, like, you know, Sunday kind of disappears. Jacoby Myers had a couple of good games in a row and then disappeared. It was really an Edelman and Sanu game, and even Ben Watson got targeted a decent amount for him on Sunday. Yeah, if all those guys that I just named stay healthy, I don't know how N'Keal Harry finds a spot.
I have to admit that I think at times Tom Brady completely overstates this whole, you know, how difficult it is to be in his circle of trust. Not that he says those words overtly,
right, but
his actions.
Yeah.
I mean, come on here. Really?
I agree with you completely.
By those standards, apparently there are only like 2 guys that Tom Brady will ever throw the football to.
Right, and then you think about it, and it's just he's really kind of, and maybe over the last couple of years, has pushed more in the direction of just any veteran is better than any rookie. Because think about it, he loved Demaryius Thomas in the preseason, like loved him, and it was always like, always buddy-buddy with him, gave him a gift when they saw him. Mohamed Sanu is here. His second week gets targeted, what was it, 12, 14 times to Mohamed Sanu? Mohamed Sanu's not like this great player. N'Keal Harry's been actually a member of the Patriots longer than Sanu has. So is Jacoby Myers. And yet he would much rather target those guys. Like he just gives up so quickly on the rookie receivers, which I think is a shame. And I know they haven't exactly stocked him with great rookie receivers or young receivers in the past, but if they took N'Keal Harry in the first round, he was the second wide receiver taken in the entire draft. So Hollywood Brown, who we saw on Sunday, the only receiver taken ahead of N'Keal Harry. DK Metcalf is having a hell of a year with Russell Wilson.
Catching 100 balls, it seems like.
It seems like. Do you think Russell Wilson saw them draft him and was like, oh, great, I got to get this young guy up to speed? Or no, I'm going to throw it to him. I'm going to make him, I'm sure, I haven't watched every Seahawks game, but I'm sure DK Metcalf has had a drop or two, and yet he's still going to go to him. He's still going to have a really productive season. He's second on the team in targets. He's second on the team in catches, second on the team in yards, second on the team in touchdowns. And he was a rookie this year drafted after N'Keal Harry. I mean, you look at the list of guys that Russell Wilson, who I think is the MVP right now, you look at the list of guys that he is throwing to, Tom Brady's better. Tom Brady probably has a better group. And if you don't think that's the case, they just plucked Josh Gordon off of waivers. They think Josh Gordon's going to help them, and the Patriots thought Josh Gordon wasn't. So that part is too bad, because you would think Myers, who really flashed in preseason, and then just the raw ability or the potential ceiling of N'Keal Harry, you would want to utilize that in this offense.
Well, the narrative, too, out there that basically, you know, you got one chance with Brady, and if you screw it up, you know, you're on the back seat of the bus here. if that's true, if he actually thinks that way, it's ridiculous on Brady's part.
It is.
Because you see rookies who are performing elsewhere.
Right.
And I mean offensive rookies, not just, you know, linemen,
but skilled position
rookies who are performing. And here it's, I threw him a pass once. He wasn't where he was supposed to be in practice, so that was it. I'm out.
Yeah, that is weird. But then also it seemed like, and Belichick obviously gives you less, but Belichick has sort of a similar thing on it. I mean, there are four receivers drafted after N'Keal Harry who are producing for their teams. I mean, DK Metcalf, remember Terry McLaurin from Washington who we saw earlier this year? He has about 500 yards, five touchdowns. A.J. Brown with Tennessee and Tennessee's quarterback situation. He's having a productive year. Mecole Hardman's been pretty good. And then obviously Marquise Brown, even though he's drafted ahead of him. But that's five wide receivers that are probably the second or third receivers on all their teams. Some good, some bad, but they're at least producing.
Doesn't look like this guy's going to get his chance.
I really don't think he is.
And I owe you an apology.
Thank you.
They don't like him more than you do.
They don't. Shockingly, they don't.
They seem to like him even less than you do, and I didn't think that was possible.
It's amazing. But you're right. The fact that he's on the 53-man roster, he's been practicing now for a few weeks, they have the bye week, and then another...
If he's not active for the Eagles game...
Brutal.
He's done.
Yeah, I agree.
617-779-7937. Right back to the calls with you guys after Trending Now and Kiefer Madness.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Kiefer Madness?
Kiefer Madness?
Yes, I'm ready for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
What now? Rack that one up for Kiefer Madness, will you?
Is he going to talk about ducks wearing clothes and stuff?
What did you say?
Going to be like Kiefer Madness. He's going to be in a great buildup and then nothing.
Keith's a nice guy.
Keith's a nice guy. Okay.
So screw you, Keith.
Yeah.
Right. Screw you.
We don't need you.
Stupid jerk. We don't need you.
Kiefer Madness. Rich Keith is just that guy makes you rock.
Kiefer Madness.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
My husband and I have always enjoyed Waffle House.
Oh, you got to see my hood and my car.
I would imagine the bite was very painful.
Don't worry about hurting his feelings. Yeah. Right? He can take it. What would you say?
D minus.
All right, here we go. It's a Tuesday at noon 30. That means it's time for Kiefer Madness.
I think that hurt Chime's feelings.
Well, he has a chance to redeem himself because today is, of course, Karaoke Tuesday. So around 1:55, Chime will sing us off.
He considers himself to be on a heater as far as his picks are concerned.
He's been making some good picks.
He's not on much of a heater when it comes to Karaoke Tuesday.
You know what? Right. I have a thick skin, and I'll take it. I'll figure it out.
Chime, not to tip your hand too much, but what's your confidence level right now?
Keith.
Yeah.
If I had to compare my confidence level to the time of day,
I was looking for a shorter
answer.
It is
high noon.
High noon?
Yeah. The sun.
That's probably enough. No, that's probably enough. No, yeah. I know where the sun. I know where the sun's directed. Yeah, thank you. That's probably plenty. All right, Dale. This is really started to sweep the nation here. This is a big story, and we're kind of going back to the well just a little bit, but it's also very topical.
Okay.
Because
Muppets invade Philadelphia.
Mike Francesa is in the news again.
Oh.
Big time.
Are there guys who kick with both legs?
There sure are, Mike. This is a significant story because Mike Francesa, apparently on Monday mornings, he records something, I think, for the radio.com. Again, he's in the family here. He's in the family with us.
Well, he sold his app to radio.com,
yep,
right?
So they have that. So I guess he does something extra Monday morning, kind of reacting to the Sunday games, in addition
bonus
to a
content.
Show. In addition to a show. So, yesterday morning, he, of course, was talking about Jets head coach Adam Gase, and this happened.
I don't usually make rash decisions with coaches. I try to be reasonable. I understand what their livelihood is. I understand how much time they put into it. I've been around a lot of coaches. I understand how much work they put into this, especially NFL head coaches. But when you cannot function,
what?
When you're not functioning as a franchise,
hold on a second. Let me just go back here for a second. Listen very closely here.
When you cannot function,
did you notice something there? Did you notice something there?
Yes.
Dan? Did you notice something there?
Yeah,
I did too. I think that Mike Francesa farted on the air. That's what I think happened.
That's a fairly, and I think safe it's pretty assumption clear on your part.
And I am not alone, because the papers in New York started to run with this. This became a significant story.
Well, wait a minute.
This was all over the internet.
I don't
internet
know if it's that big a story that huge the papers story in New York have to write about.
Oh, I don't know. Have you ever heard of the New York Daily News?
I know. I'm
have
saying,
you ever heard of it?
CBS 46 in Atlanta ran with it.
They said he didn't fart.
They opened with it last night.
I mean, the man had a little gas here. Is it that big a deal?
Cannot function.
It is a big deal. It is a big deal. Have you ever ripped a fart on the air?
Not that I can remember, okay. No.
Not that you've been accused of, anyway.
And you want to know something really weird?
I do.
I can't burp.
Wait a minute. What? That's sort of the opposite end of the spectrum here, Dale.
But you
can't burp?
I cannot burp.
So if I fed you a 2-liter Coca-Cola,
not be able to burp.
I find that hard to believe.
So I burped like 8 times after drinking one seltzer last night.
They Shive can't go 20 minutes.
But my point is, I haven't done that on the air either.
All right, interesting. Yeah, I've not ripped a fart on the air. If I did, I would say, yep, you got me. That was a nice out, is what I would say. But a little bit different for... So anyway, that happened Monday morning. Okay. So then Monday afternoon, the show is rolling. Oh. Francesca, as you know, takes calls. Just like this one.
When you were ripping Adam Gase, you know, I just wanted to know what your thoughts were. The Daily News came out with an article that you ripped a fart. I just wanted to know your point on what you...
What are you talking about? I mean, I don't know what... You're just a moron. I mean...
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute.
Now, Mons, what are you sending me a headline that says what?
So that was producer is like, well, actually, the guy's not making it up.
They actually wrote a headline that said that? Okay.
That's producer's talking in his ear.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, this guy didn't make up the fact that the Daily News... This is all real time. I'm talking over it.
Mike, so I'm going to read the headline. Mike Francesa appears to fought while ripping Adam Gase.
This is real life. This is real life that we are in right now. So a caller points out the fact that the Daily News. So what I love it too, because it's not just the caller who happened to be listening to the radio.com thing. Or I think there's a video element too. And it's not like it was a caller that just like made it up. No, the Daily News is running with it. So he asks them about it. And then after about a 15-second delay, he has to answer.
Wait a second. I'm going to read the headline. Mike Francesa appears to fought while ripping Adam Gase. Now, here's the thing. The five-minute morning, which Anthony tapes in the morning, first of all, I it didn't happen. It's a complete lie, which Daily News lies all the time. Secondly,
I
heard it too. It's pretty clear on my end.
When you cannot function.
does Anthony have to go to his house?
No, I think he goes in early. Actually, I don't know. Does he record?
I don't know.
I don't know where this is. I really don't. But Anthony.
I picture Anthony having to go to his bathroom. Like sitting there.
No.
Dropping a deuce.
No, that's not what he was doing. Oh. Maybe that's what he did right after the segment, I would imagine. But no.
Anthony has to tape that and put it up. If we had something happen, why would we put it up? It's not on live. It's actually something we tape and put up. So we would never put it up. It's not up live, you morons. So if that ever happened, we would stop tape.
We edit out all the farts. Every week we edit out the farts.
Anthony,
tell them how many farts we edit out. We never put the farts up there. If it's a taped fart, we take it out. He seems to be... Well, he's not done here, Dale. There's plenty more for Mike Francesa. Full press denial, by the way. He is really kind of going
over
the top.
So he started to run hot now.
Yeah, he is.
It would never happen. It's a complete, I swear on my kid's life, it's a fabrication.
So we've now gotten to the
point. Now?
He is swearing on his kid's life about farting. About whether or not
he farted.
That
we listened to.
Yeah, we heard him. Clear as day, he farted.
When you cannot function.
Yeah, well, we heard it. We heard it loud and clear.
Anthony has to tape that.
Oh, sorry.
It would never happen. It's a complete, I swear on my kid's life, it's a fabrication.
Leave them out. Shows
you, you should never believe anything that these morons write. So it's not live. So why would that ever happen? First of all, it would never happen, number one. Secondly, how would you, so you're telling me you heard the noise?
How could you say it would never happen? Did you say I would never, ever fart, ever on the air? It would never, ever happen?
Our Twitter follower, Dice, said...
What did Dice say?
So he ripped gas while ripping Gase?
Yes, he did.
That's what he did.
I think it might have been the headline right there, Dice.
I mean, just to show you the garbage that these guys write, it's, you know, really, it's not worth picking the paper up. And if you have to pay for that thing now, that rag, you shouldn't even think of it, folks.
So now, because they accused him of farting, he's saying, never buy the newspaper again. I feel like, Dale, and there's more here, but... Doth protest too much. If you were accused of farting and you didn't fart, wouldn't the response be, yeah, I know it kind of sounds like it, but I didn't?
Well,
if I did, I'd tell you, but I didn't.
And I'm
next up, let's go to, Bill in New York.
I'm trying to play devil's advocate here, okay?
Okay.
Does he have a chair that makes a sound?
I don't know. Does it make a fart sound?
When you cannot function.
No, it sounds like a fart.
It's a fart.
No, it doesn't. It sounds like a fart.
It's a fart. It's definitely a fart.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fart while ripping Adam Gase.
All right, so he's still mad.
Just shows you, folks, if you take one word that either the News or the Post writes about me at face value, you are out of your minds.
Seems
because mm-hmm. it's to the point now, and this is what has happened. Because of what happens now on social media, the newspapers think they can write anything they want now, too, because on social media, you can say anything you want. So now the newspapers, to compete, think they can say anything they want.
This is exactly like Tom Brady and the N-word thing.
It sounds to me
exactly
like
what we're dealing with.
We have finally pushed Mike Francesa over the edge.
I think so.
Mike Francesa just said moments ago,
uh-oh,
I am leaving Afternoon Drive this December. Details to come.
No, he did not.
Swear to God.
Is that for real?
Yeah. Neil Best at SportsWatch says Francesa is expected to have a role with Radio.com in the years to come and might also have a role on WFAN itself to a limited degree. More to come on this story in the hours and days ahead.
So you're telling me the last words of Mike Francesa are...
Mike Francesa appears to rip fart while ripping Adam Gase.
Might be.
Oh, my God. What a fitting end.
The newspapers think they can write anything they want now, too, because on social media, you can say anything you want. So now the newspapers, to compete, think they can say anything they want. There is not one iota of truth in that. Now, I wouldn't waste my time after them for something like that.
I can see that.
Listen to this deal. Listen to this part.
I wouldn't waste my time going after them for something like that. And I don't even know that I could prove damages because I don't think it's damaging.
But just he was going to sue the Daily News because they said he farted on the air. They say he ripped a fart on the air, and now he's going to sue them.
Damaging. But just to show you how ridiculous it is and offensive it is.
It is very offensive to many, many people. And so we have one last little piece because, oh, by the way, this was a near 7-minute rant about how he didn't fart.
Well,
John
was,
had to edit it down for us.
He was in a high dudgeon. He was mad.
And you went back to the rewind feature, right?
Yeah, actually. So right after it happened, I saw Funhouse tweeting about it. I used the radio.com rewind feature to go back and listen to it.
Pretty good.
So get the app if you don't have it.
That's right.
And people jump on stuff with my name on it. So they create something like that, which never, ever happened, but they do it all the time. All the time they make stuff up. All the time. So when the president unfortunately talks fake news, he's not lying.
Yeah, he dropped the president.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, fake news.
So now Mike Francesa and Donald Trump.
One of the same.
Nobody knows the trouble. That's what he's going through now.
These guys know.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fart while ripping Adam Gase.
Yep. So that also reminds us of the time when Jim Tomasula, back in 2015, I think this is when
he was
with the 49ers.
Didn't happen.
Okay. I mean, this is a really good football team. They're well coached, a lot of talent. Nothing but respect for them.
A lot of examples in football history of good quarterbacks bringing their confidence after things sort of snowballed on them.
We're like 12 years
Jim
old, aren't we?
We're
sitting here laughing like crazy people over people
it
farting.
It is a great.
The Tom Sula one, though, that guy's face went beet red. He knew exactly
what he did. And he looks like a human fart, Jim Tom Sula.
Examples in football history of good quarterbacks.
Couldn't hide that one.
It's not true.
Francesa's, there's a little wiggle room, I suppose, to argue it. But he went so overboard in his defense that it just makes him guilty, more and more guilty by the word as he's dropping these on you.
So when the president unfortunately talks fake news, he's not lying.
I don't know if the president is talking about farts necessarily,
and
but he might
in
be.
In the last 15 minutes, Mike Francesa has announced he's leaving Afternoon Drive. Are these connected?
He got forced out. Yes, 100%.
The dastardly attack by the Daily News.
Yeah.
When you cannot function.
Just a little kind of squeaker there, but it still counts.
They gassed him out.
I don't think he did it.
You don't?
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, of course he did it.
Okay.
What are you kidding me?
So you're
going to
stand up and defend him.
No, it was clear as a bell.
But there you go.
It wasn't as clear as Tom Sula's, but it was right there.
No, it was not.
Avengers, something with the Ultron. I don't know what it is. Something with the Ultron.
We are not going to have this stuff
to
play going forward?
No! What do you mean no?
We won't.
Wait a minute.
He's just out of gas, guys. Leave him alone.
Chime.
Thanks, Chime. Just
here's the Minkman.
Come on, just go sit over there for a while. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Right back to your call. Sports Radio, WEEI.
When you cannot function, Mike Francesa appears to fought while ripping Adam Gase. When the president unfortunately talks fake news, he's not lying.
A lot of examples in football history of good quarterbacks losing their confidence after things sort of snowballed on them.
Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Well, you are credited for introducing all that computer technology to the game, and the Cowboys were really on the cutting edge. How did that happen?
Well, let me say this, Michelle. In 1961, we started with a computer. And, you know, they talk about analytics now. We had the same thing back in the 60s, although we call them probabilities.
The Gilbrandt computer from 1961 that he's referring to was the size of a small room.
I was going
to
say, where did you put it? In the stadium. The only spot we could. That was Gilbrandt, of course.
It wasn't real portable. We weren't like taking it on the road with us.
He put his Twitter helper to work today. Came up with a beauty of a meme.
A meme, M-E-A-M.
Yeah, well. About Mike Leach going to coach Florida State. Hilarious meme. But hey, what are you going to do? At least he's embraced technology and Twitter. You know, we actually had the first computer when I was in Dallas. The very first computer.
1961.
And what do you do with it? Nah, we played Oregon Trail. Really wasn't a whole lot else. I think didn't even have a calculator.
We played Myst.
Yeah, like, what do you want us to do? Kind of sat around, played a game called Word Munchers.
We wanted to play Pong, but we couldn't find a controller for it.
Didn't have that capability. But that's good, though. Good for Gil.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Paul is in Braintree. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hey, guys, I heard earlier you talking about a team moving to England and the logistical problems.
Yep. Yeah.
It would be more than that. I got a friend who works out there. She's based in Birmingham. The first question is, would they get paid in American dollars or British pounds? And the tax rate's through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And the sales tax is like 20% because things are imported, things are expensive. So would players want to play there?
No.
Because they're not going to make as much money. They
of course would not want to play there. Again, you might
you'd have to pay everybody in American dollars.
Yeah, how does it work in hockey? Do you know? Like, do the Maple Leafs get paid?
I believe it's American dollars.
Yeah, so they could probably figure it out that way where they would still get American dollars, but it's still it's a mess. And Dale, you were looking up the distance because the other part of this whole story is that they would have to be moved to the AFC East if, in fact, it is the Chargers that are the ones that move there. Just because you couldn't have them in the AFC West. But even then, it's a longer flight
for
everybody.
The distance from Boston to London is a little over 3,500 miles. Right now in the NFL, the greatest distance for a division game is the Giants and the Dallas Cowboys, and that's about 1,300 miles.
Yeah, and even that one.
And that's the farthest distance between two division opponents.
And so now you're going to make... Every year, the Patriots, the Bills, and the Jets have to go to London during the regular season. Every single year, they automatically have to do that, let alone what their other schedules might be. You know, because say it's the year that you play in Seattle and in San Francisco, and now they got you in London, and they got you, you know, like, it's just, that's insane. Nobody's going to want to play there. I think.
Why does the NFL think it's so essential?
I don't get it. I guess they just look at it.
Mark Cuban's looking more and more by the day.
Oh, yeah, definitely is. I think they must see, they're like, how much more money can we squeeze out of the United States? That's probably what they're thinking. Like, we got these huge TV deals. We got, you know, it's the most popular sport here. What else can we do? And I wonder if part of it is they see how popular soccer is and how much money is involved in soccer. And they're like, well, look, if we can get over there, and even if we're the number two sport in a few years.
And you's worth more than the Cowboys.
Yeah. Like, is that what they're thinking, maybe? I don't know. I mean, they had NFL Europe for a little while. Now, that wasn't the NFL players, but it was some guys, sort of like a minor league system. They had that for a little bit. But I don't know. I just think it looks like it's a disaster, and it's such a stretch. And not that it would immediately sink the NFL or anything like that, but it just sort of goes on to the list of the Mark Cuban, you know, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered type of thinking.
I mean, we have felt for a long time now that the NFL seems obsessed with it, but fans don't care. We don't, I mean, other than having football on a Sunday morning, which would only happen 8 Sundays a year,
mm-hmm.
unless they go to 17 games, maybe 9.
Oh,
but
you know, yeah.
It gets complicated.
Yeah. Well, that's the other part is if all of a sudden the 17th game, because right now the schedules are if nothing else, they're balanced, right? Like your division, you play everybody twice in your division. Then you play one other whole division in the AFC, one other whole division in the NFC, and then wherever you finished the year before. So all the other first place teams for the Patriots and all down the line. Pretty simple, right? But you can only do that if you have four team divisions in a 16-game season. Where does the 17th game pop up?
I don't know.
And now you're going to have some really unbalanced things. So some teams are going to say, well, we had to play the Patriots twice this year, or three times, or I don't know. I don't know who gets the extra game. And like that's really fair. So say it's a year where, you know, like the Ravens and Steelers are fighting for the division, and one of them gets an extra game against the Jets, and one of them gets an extra game against the Pats. What the hell? Like that's not fair.
And with the London franchise, the whole idea that okay, this year the AFC East, their opponent is the AFC West.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good luck to the London team.
Oh yeah, right.
Those road trips are going to be killers.
And then now the schedule makers are going to have a nightmare because now are you scheduling buys for everybody after they play in London like you normally do? You can't do that anymore.
Not
because
anymore.
Teams are playing in London the first couple weeks of the season, and now you're going to have to throw in extra buys. And at the end of the season, because when it, like the bye weeks go from what, like 4 to 13, somewhere in there? Because nobody has, obviously, the last couple of weeks off. Well, the Patriots do sometimes. But, but you know what I'm saying? Like they wouldn't be able to do it that way. There's just more problems than there are, like, what's the best case scenario here? I guess a few more million dollars. I guess that's the absolute best case.
Enough to justify Roger Goodell's salary, damn it.
Yep.
We told you yesterday the story of Jermaine Whitehead, who got fired because of Twitter. We've heard from Jermaine Whitehead today.
Uh-oh, how's he doing?
We'll tell you what he has to say when we come back in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.